Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're glad that you've joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. So great to see you again on this yet another weekend of the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
It's good to be here.
We just keep coming back, don't
That's
we?
That's right. We've got some good stuff we're going to give people today.
That's right. This will be a fantastic program because it affects everyone, especially me. Because if you know me, you know that I always have a Mountain Dew in my hand.
You do, and it's just not good for you, Chris. It's didn't we work on this on another show one time?
We have.
I think we did.
It's not sticking.
Right. Today's the day.
I know Mountain Dew isn't the best thing for me, but I just continue to drink it.
So would you consider that a bad habit, a habit that you'd want to kick?
No.
You don't want to.
That's the problem.
So that's one of the issues when we're dealing with bad habits. You kind of have to want to kick it.
Right.
I know for me, I have a bad habit of waking up in the morning and going first to my social media rather than going to my Bible.
I heard someone say that that's bad for your health because in many ways, social media like Facebook and Instagram and all of this can get you so wound up because you see something you don't like or politically might make you mad. It's not a good way to start the day off.
So it would be better for me to go to my Bible. That would be a great way to start the day off, right?
Right.
So that's a habit I wouldn't mind breaking.
Right. Well, today we are going to get some help for these things that we consider to be bad habits. And Dr. Linda, how do we kick these habits?
So I read this really great article that I found, and it really caught my eye and inspired me for the show, actually. So it was entitled, Can't Kick a Bad Habit? Mm-hmm. You're probably doing it wrong.
Oh.
And that was a good title.
Right.
That was a good title. So we're going to explore, and this time, how to do it right. Because bad habits often are a problem in relationships. The little things that people do, like the famous one that I struggled with in my marriage, like so many people, and the producer's looking at me because I am married to him. I do squeeze the toothpaste in the middle of the tube. And that's one of those habits that really bothered him. And so one of the things is, Chris, is you can have little things like that in a relationship that can build up over time, mm-hmm. or you can have some really big bad habits like maybe overspending that can really put a relationship into distress.
I think the difference between Sharon and I and you and Dr. Norm is we both don't like the same toothpaste.
You have your own.
I've got mine. She's got hers. I don't care how she squeezes her toothpaste.
Well, that's a good solution. You don't have to kick anything then.
Right,
you just have to use your own tube.
Right. Now, I guess there probably isn't a person listening who doesn't have at least one bad habit. And we've all heard the phrase, old habits, they die hard.
They do. So there are a number of common bad habits, like nail biting is one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
One way you can deal with that is to just keep your nails really short. That's one thing that people recommend.
Right.
And in the wintertime, if you're really struggling with it, you can keep your gloves on. That'll be a little bit less temptation if you have something on your hand to not bite your nails.
And you could dip your hands in vinegar. And so your hands taste like vinegar all day. That would help.
Well, some people put hot sauce. Have you heard that? Put hot sauce on the fingers.
Yeah.
I know when kids were trying to not suck their thumb, sometimes they put hot sauce or cayenne pepper or something to keep them from doing that.
Right. Well, another one I notice is people play with their hair. Of course, mine is too short. I can't do that.
There's not much to play with.
Right, not a bad habit for me. But I've noticed how some people twirl their hair when they talk to you, and they just sort of,
Yeah, I have a friend who does that, and I think she's completely unaware of it. But it looks like a nervous habit. The more we get talking, the more she starts twirling the bottom part of her hair. So, again, one of those habits that are involving your hands, the trick to breaking that is to force your hands to do something else, to go somewhere else. So sometimes you could do something like tap on something. Of course, that can be annoying, too. Yeah, like that, which is totally annoying. Or you could, some people say take up knitting, which I'm not sure you do that in an office.
True, right.
But you could do something with your hands, maybe one of those squeeze things, those squeeze stress reducers, if you wanted to break that habit.
What about the fidget spinner, for crying out loud? Would that be a good idea?
Let's not use that. We were going to do a show on that because it doesn't work for what people are thinking it works.
Well, here's one, and this sort of hits home, but snacking at night, which I do.
Yeah, so this is one I've been working hard on trying to break because it does lead to weight gain, and that isn't good for me. And it also affects my sleep. I guess nothing affects your sleep because I see you not only eating at night when we do late shows, but I also see you drinking coffee. And I just cannot believe that. I'd be totally awake for hours.
I didn't realize I was going to be beat up so bad when we came in to do this show today.
I'm getting on you. Listen, there was an article in the journal Obesity, and what they found is that the body's internal clock, which has to do with our sleep cycle, It actually increases hunger and cravings at night for sweet and starchy and salty food. So The reason we're sometimes craving that has to do with our internal clock, but that makes it a little bit harder than to break that habit. In addition, I think for a lot of people, it's just plain boredom. And so you're watching television and you start to snack.
Right.
So that's a bad habit that a lot of people I've worked with have really wanted to break.
Speaking of food, here's another one. As we go through these show notes when we're preparing, I see what you've provided. I'm like, yep, me.
Yeah.
Another one is skipping breakfast. And people are either too rushed or they say they just aren't hungry. And we've talked about this on previous shows. Skipping breakfast is a bad habit in terms of weight control and your body function.
I'm working on this one with my husband.
Oh, yeah?
So he's in the booth listening to this. And so I've been bugging him because studies suggest if you skip breakfast, it's just not good for your health. It's the most important meal of the day. It's good for healthy brain functioning and for the body. It improves your focus by eating breakfast, your performance, and it really helps jumpstart your metabolism, Making it much more efficient for burning calories during the day. So set your alarm a few minutes earlier. Just carve out a few minutes for a quick and nutritional breakfast. You can eat something really quick, like I have hard-boiled eggs that I sometimes grab on the way to work, or some whole wheat toast or Greek yogurt or oatmeal.
That sounds good, but here's another bad habit, cracking your knuckles.
Now, does that one bother you?
I do it, too.
You do it? I know. There are other family members of my family that do that. It just gets me.
Really?
That one just really gets me. So there's this kind of myth that it leads to arthritis. I don't know that there's any real fact behind that. I just think it's annoying. But here's what you're doing. People are cracking their joints to relieve air bubbles that form between the sacs and the joint. And so people are popping them to kind of relieve that. So instead, when I checked on this, you're supposed to just take your fingers and massage them and try to relieve the stress that way on the joints.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well.
Give that a shot. Now, there are bad habits that are more than just irritating or annoying. Some are bad for your health, and they even bring on aging, make you older.
So one of those we've already mentioned is stress eating. So we know that foods high in sugar and fat temporarily do calm the brain, but then they do damage to the body. And that's why we're seeing record rates of obesity and diabetes and other conditions. Another one that we mentioned again on another show is sitting. Sitting around. I did a blog a while ago called Sitting is the New Smoking.
Right.
Because it's just as bad for you. If you sit all day, you can create problems with, again, obesity, diabetes, even like dementia. They're thinking that the lack of exercise may be connected to that, some cancers, bone loss, and even a weakened immune system. So you got to get up and get moving.
Wow. Now, we've mentioned sleep, but lack of sleep can be serious. A long time ago, we had a sleep specialist on the show, and he talked about all the consequences of not getting enough sleep.
He did. We had Dr. Panettiere on, and he did a sleep fellowship at Duke, and he said, occasionally a late night is fine, but when staying up late becomes a habit and you get too little sleep, and we're kind of defining that as less than 7 hours. Now, kids and teenagers need a lot more than that, but for adults. So if you're on a regular basis depriving yourself of sleep, again, you're going to put yourself at risk for hypertension, diabetes, and even short-term illness. So, you know, if you're tired all the time, it's going to affect your daytime functioning. You're going to be less productive. You're going to be prone to errors, to accidents. So this is one that you really do need to develop a much better habit, is sleeping a good amount at night, 9 to 10 hours.
Before we go to the break, there's one habit that we haven't mentioned yet. Sort of did. You said sitting is the new smoking, but what about smoking itself?
Yeah, it's probably one of the worst habits because it's known to actually cause several types of cancers, lung cancer, mouth cancer, stomach cancer, pancreatic, and it increases your risk of heart disease. So it's harmful to people who are also inhaling that secondhand smoke. And I even read something the other day on third-hand smoke, which we can do maybe a show on that. But it's really expensive if you're in that. So that habit is one that has high stakes. That's one we really need to cut.
Okay, well, here's one my parents used to say. They said, stop listening to loud music because over time it can lead to hearing loss. So they had some wisdom on that one for sure. Well, if your bad habit didn't make the list yet, no worries. We want to focus on ways to kick any bad habit. So stay with us as we take a short break. More on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And just a reminder that Dr. Linda has written a number of blogs on the topics on our shows, and you can read them by going to her website, drlindamental.com, and you can follow her on social media as well. I would recommend following her as she regularly tweets and puts interesting articles on Facebook.
Well, thank you. I think they are interesting. And sometimes we put fun things on Instagram of you doing crazy things.
It's amazing what people like to
enjoy seeing. You're very entertaining, apparently.
Apparently so. Well, we went to the break talking about common bad habits, but now let's focus on how to break these habits. So where do we start and how do we kick bad habits?
So it starts in our mind, and it's really important to pay attention to the urges that you feel when you're about to engage in some kind of a bad habit. So see if you can sort of watch your urges. Usually what happens with an urge, it starts to rise and then it peaks. And then if you don't give in to it, a lot of times it will fall away. And you can actually train your mind, Chris, to understand that your urges are just temporary. And if you don't give in immediately, then they'll go away. I think the one exception maybe to this is smoking or some kind of a substance, because there actually is a physical process going on in your body, in the brain, that is making those cravings very real. But again, even with a smoker or someone who is trying to kick a drug habit, they can recognize those urges, and they still have to learn not to give in to those urges.
So we're talking about the urge, and we need to be aware of the urge to do the bad habit. Are you saying that paying attention to what we are thinking?
Right. So the first step is to look at the situation you are in when you engage in the habit. So we call this in the therapy world, look at the trigger. Look at the cue. What's creating this thing for you to want to do this bad habit? So like the toothpaste tube is the trigger.
Right.
And then I just automatically squeeze it in the middle for some reason. So you need a good awareness of that, because if you're not aware of it, you're not going to change it. So awareness is the first step. It's critical, along with what we mentioned in the first segment. You really do have to have a willingness to change if you're going to change a bad habit.
Now, in the past, I've heard you tell some people to track their habits, make a chart, and see what situation triggers that habit so they can be aware of it.
So this is really helpful for a lot of people. If you're someone who just isn't very aware of when you're doing something, if you keep a diary or a chart, or you write it down each time that you do that bad habit, if you write down, well, where was I? What was I doing? This is what's starting to make you much more aware of what's triggering that bad habit.
Hmm.
Then the next thing you have to do is replace that habit with something else. And so there isn't like a prescription where one size fits all here. People just have to try some things.
Right.
But the thing to think about is that the brain learns to associate things together. So there's a cause and effect going on. So, for example, if you want to build a new habit, say like you want to learn, I want to remember to take my vitamin every morning.
Mm.
So I might place my vitamins somewhere in the morning routine. Like for me, it would be next to my coffee, in order to start building that relationship that my brain is going to remember. And over time, if I see the coffee and the vitamin, that behavior is going to be learned in my brain, and eventually I'm going to associate those two things together, and I'm going to build that habit.
Problem. What if you're trying to stop drinking coffee?
So you're stopping a habit,
right,
while you're trying to do a new habit. Yeah. That association has been built in your brain. Whatever you're doing in the morning with the coffee, now then, if you really wanted to stop doing that, you want to do something else.
Right.
Let's just take the overeating as an example. That's an easy one that most people can relate to. If you find yourself, let's say, reaching for cookies in the break room every afternoon.
I do.
Yeah, well, here's what you've done. You've associated the break room with the cookie.
Right.
So you put those two things together. But instead of reaching for the cookie, I would suggest that you try doing something else in the break room. First of all, you could just not go to the break room.
True.
And then you probably wouldn't overeat. But you could also just maybe go in there and talk to somebody, maybe walk around the room, maybe even decide I'm not going to even go in there. I'm going to go outside and just take a quick walk. So the idea here is to substitute something else for that cookie habit and then do it over and over again.
But Dr. Linda, think of the cookie with its gooey center, nice and warm from the microwave. It's the sensation that you like.
You're so right. In my overeating groups used to tell me, you know, you want me to do this? And this is so much not exciting as doing this. But it's still, you've got to think about that. If there is something that's just too good to substitute, then we're going to have to do something that we call progressive extremism. Does that sound like a political movement?
I thought I heard about that on the news recently.
It does. It sounds a little crazy. All this means is that you do this if you try to substitute one thing for another and that's just not quite cutting it for you. You really begin to tell yourself, the cookie is not what I want to do. Hmm. The cookie is going to lead to overeating. It's going to lead to me gaining more weight. I'm not going to feel good doing this. I really don't want to be this person who is just reaching for things and eating mindlessly. So what you're starting to do is you're starting to make this more a part of your identity. And this is why it's called progressive extremism. It's kind of an extreme approach. But if you think about it, every vegetarian starts off with this because meat does taste good. And I know people who are vegetarians, and if they say to you, oh, I just stopped eating meat because I didn't like it, that's probably not true. But they made it part of their identity. They're saying, I want to be a vegetarian.
Is that why they talk about it so much?
Well, it might be because they're trying to work it into their identity.
Right.
This is an important thing, not to be eating meat. It's the same if you're an alcoholic and you're trying to. This is one of the things I don't like about AA, and I'm not suggesting that AA isn't a good thing. But when you start off and you say, hi, I'm Linda, I'm an alcoholic, you're creating this identity about yourself. But you really don't want to be known as that.
Right.
So you want to be known as that sober person who takes care of their family and does other things. So I think that it does help when you're trying to break that habit. Now, again, I'm not putting down AA because a lot of people do very well with that. But I think we need to start thinking, I want to be sober. I want to incorporate that into my identity.
I remember you talking in the past when we did our show about Lou's dieting for life. This was a critical part of breaking the dieting habit. Thinking and saying, I don't versus I can't.
So this is so important. There was a study published by the Journal of Consumer Research, and it looked at those two phrases when people were confronted with temptation. So one group was told to use the words, I can't, and then another group was told to use the words, I don't. And they were told to use this when they were faced with unhealthy food choices. So at the end of the study, both groups were given a chocolate bar or a granola bar. It was their choice. And what was so interesting at the end, Chris, was that the people who said, I don't, picked the healthy granola bar versus the people who said, I can't, they went for the chocolate. So it's psychological. And when you say, I don't, you're empowering yourself in a way. So think about this when you're teaching your kids something. Wouldn't this be powerful if you taught your kids to say, well, I just don't do drugs, or I just don't whatever, fill in the blank, rather than, oh, I can't. It's making it part of their identity.
I remember when I was young, I remember someone offering my dad alcohol, and he said, no, we don't drink.
We don't. So it's part of his identity.
Right,
so he's doing that progressive extremism.
Exactly.
Don't tell him that because he might think he's going to be on Facebook as some kind of political person.
Right. But I've seen that in action. So let me get this straight. Think I don't versus I can't. Well, right now, I can't keep talking to you because we have to go to break. And that's a habit that we can't kick. But stay with us as we talk more about kicking bad habits on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, But sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I love my mother, but available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we're discussing kicking bad habits. And again, to remind you, Dr. Linda blogged about this on her MyFaithRadio.com page and writes weekly blogs that you can find on her website, drlindamental.com. And I would also encourage you to check out one of her many books that are on her website as well. Her book, Letting Go of Worry, will help you kick the worry habit. Dr. Linda, there's a saying I've heard from you, start low and go slow. Does that idea help when trying to kick a bad habit?
So that's a phrase that often doctors will use when they're dealing with pain medication. So they start low, go slow, right? But it's actually important when you're breaking a habit, because for a lot of us, when we try to just stop something sort of cold turkey, we just say, I'm just going to cut that out of my life. That's a lot harder than if we maybe do something that we start low or we start slow with doing something. So you don't necessarily want to maybe take on the whole thing at once. Maybe you want to break it up into a few steps so that you don't go back to that habit. Because sometimes, isn't it like dieting? Like when people diet, they're just like, I'm just going to stop eating all that bad food.
Right.
And then before you know it, they're back to eating junk food again, because it's really hard to do it all or nothing.
There's a psychological component there that says, you know what, I am not doing this anymore. Then your body says, but you want
to. You want it. You want it. Exactly. Now, with drug use, you often have to stop all at once and go cold turkey. But even with that, sometimes, like with stopping smoking, sometimes there are these in-between steps, like maybe getting a nicotine patch or nicotine gum or something to start lessening your dependence on that. So with habits like overeating that we were talking about, you may want to just begin by eliminating one thing from your diet you won't really miss. So, for example, I decided there's so much candy at our workplace. I just don't understand. Every single desk you walk by, there's like bowls of candy. And I was picking it up and eating it constantly. So I decided, okay, I'm not going to cut candy out of my life for the rest of my life, but I can pass on the candy jars at my workstation. And all these workstations. And so I've been doing it. And actually, I just say, I don't eat the candy. I said it the other day. I don't eat the candy anymore at work. But psychologically, I'm okay with that, because it wasn't like, oh, I'm never going to eat candy again in my life. So I just don't eat the candy at work. And I know I can do this long term. And honestly, Chris, I haven't even missed it.
Because you've made it a part of your identity.
And I'm not saying I'll never do it again. Like I'll never eat candy at my house or when I'm out or some other place.
Well, it sounds like the things you give up have to be easy enough to give them up for quite a while.
So that is good. That's really good, because think of something really small that you could start to remove and get some success with. So maybe sugary drinks.
Okay, sugary drinks. Got it.
Mountain Dew. Or maybe something like just coffee loaded with fat and sugar. So maybe taking out the sugar or taking out the creamer and trying to do it so you're not, if you're trying to lose weight, this is.
Right.
I did this years ago, and I just said I don't do high-calorie coffee drinks. Now, I'm sure they taste fabulous, but I just don't want to even start liking them. So I know I could do it. But instead, I either drink my coffee black or with non-fat milk. So the idea here is to commit to a small step. But for that small step to work, it really does need to feel easy enough for you to do.
It's hard to get to that point, small steps at a time, because we either want to just stop and go cold turkey, which, like you said, has a high failure rate.
Yeah, it does.
Or we never get around to trying to break the habit. What are more examples?
So here's one I read that somebody did. And I thought it was really interesting. So if you want to stop a bad habit of mindlessly surfing the internet, so here's a good one, right? Mindlessly surfing, and you want to reduce the online distractions in your life. Here's what this person did. He said, you don't have to quit the web entirely, because that would be really hard for everybody.
Right.
So quit one simple thing that you wouldn't miss and intend not to do it for life. So maybe something like, I'm not going to read articles on my web browser during work hours, ever. Just during work hours. Instead, every time you see something that looks interesting, you could even use an app like Pocket or some other app, which helps you save that article for later. So it's a small step. He's not just going for the whole thing. He's just taking it a step at a time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at Facebook. So. This really is about stopping bad habits that aren't helping us and not allowing the habit to control us.
Right. So let's review. So stopping a bad habit is different from starting a new one. old habits have been learned with an association of action and reward, right? So you have to unlearn that. And in some ways, Chris, this is really the work of imitating Christ in all we do. We stop the old, right, when we get saved. Unhealthy patterns, we're not continuing those in our new life as a Christian. And God helps make us new when we're saved. So this is the hope of change, that we're not the same as we used to be before we knew Christ.
And when we talk about our identity, deciding what we will and what we will not do, that's also part of our discipleship.
It is, and it is what James calls us to do. Walk the walk, not just the talk. Make our identity in Christ. Look to the Bible to guide us on how the Christian life should be. So moderation in all things, not being dependent on anything, on any kind of habit, but being dependent on God, not giving in to temptation and desire all the time. So as a Christian, I do learn to say, like your dad, I don't.
Right.
Because of my identity in Christ. I don't cheat. I don't get drunk. I don't put myself in debt, etc. We get the idea. And the power of the Holy Spirit in me helps me to overcome and be successful at breaking bad habits.
Now, one thing I think you are not saying is that becoming a Christian just makes all the bad habits go away.
No, and it's a really good point, because just because you become a Christian doesn't mean suddenly your life is just grand and glorious in every aspect. But it is in the Bible that as we are trying to live a holy life unto God, this is what sanctification is in the Christian world. It's allowing the Spirit and God in me to help me imitate Christ more and more as I grow in my maturity with God. So change is rarely a straight line. Usually there are some bumps along the way and you readjust as you go. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it."
And of course, there is one verse in Philippians that we all know, Philippians 4:13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ."
All right. So let me close with my life verse. Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So don't give up. Work on those bad habits. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.